So, you know, want to say something a little bit about last Sunday, because we're not going to talk necessarily about pride again this morning. God led me down a little different direction, and, you know, it's amazing to me how sometimes those directions are not always the easiest in thinking. And as we were singing these songs here this morning, the worship songs, my mind went back to the Garden of Eden. And I don't know about you, but in the Garden of Eden, you know the story. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but God gave Adam and Eve a command. The command was given to Adam before Eve was created, but it was a command, and that command dealt with something. And this morning, that's where I would like us to put our focus on, not so much on the sin of pride, but the command that God gave. And when you hear of a word and you hear the word command, what thoughts go through your mind? Like if anybody here served in the military? Yeah, so, and you're issued a command to do something, right, Cal? So, and you got to do it. Regardless of whether or not you want to do it, regardless of that. And this morning, Monday morning, I get back up and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to preach next Sunday? Why do you want me to continue on this theme of pride? What do you want me to preach? And so you want to be real sensitive what God lays on your heart. It's not just something that Matt wants to preach. And my mind went immediately to the Great Commission. Now, in the Great Commission is this phrase, teach to what? Observe all that I have commanded. So I said, okay, Lord, is that where you want to go? And didn't think anything more of it after that. I just kept meditating on that all Monday. And then Tuesday evening, I had the honor of sitting here with some of you, 10 different individuals who began to tell their story on where they're at with their journey with Jesus. And we covered these verses again, the Great Commission, and the Great Commission, that phrase stood out, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. God started His world, His creation, with a command. And Jesus didn't do away with commands. And so oftentimes when we think of commands, we think of the law, the Old Testament law, right? I'm told to do something. And so it becomes this negative connotation about life. And if I break one of those commands, then God's ready to take me out. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, I want you to teach all that I have commanded, to observe everything. So it's not just one. And so I began to do this process and began to look at things and begin to think, okay, well, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are when of Jesus' ministry on the earth. In those four Gospels, there is over 50 commands that Jesus told the multitudes, not just individuals, to do. So we could spend over a year going through one command about what Jesus has told His disciples to do. Every Sunday, if we just took one command, it would take us a year to get there. But then I got to thinking, wait a minute, Jesus spoke in other parts of the Bible too, not just in the first four Gospels. And that led me to Revelations. And in Revelations, we have this verse. And as I'm doing that, I want to put up a slide there behind us. And it's taken from John 14, verse 15, and where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Revelation, the sermon title this morning is Let the Church Hear. Because in Revelations, we have the writing to the churches, and that is Jesus speaking to John. He's telling them, and he ends every single letter to the church with these words. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus has not only given us commands in His journey or His ministry on this earth through the Gospels, which we'll get to one of those today. He also gives it to the churches, which means that sometimes the church can miss the voice of God. And that's what I want to talk this morning about, is how do we hear the voice of God, and what does God's voice say when He speaks to us, and what is His message to us? Paul David Tripp this morning probably put it more eloquent than I will ever put it, but the Bible is not just he said this, the Bible is not just about theology. It is about living life. Did I say that correctly, those of you in class? The Bible is not just about theology or the study of God. It is about the way we live life. And Jesus knew this. And that's why he said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. So, when you look at 50, where do you start? You could start at the very beginning, which Jesus' very first command Jesus gave when he came out of the wilderness was he began to preach, repent. That's the very first command. So we could start with repentance, but I decided not to start there. I started to look at the commands and I began to say, you know what, let's look at he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because sometimes our hearts aren't open to repentance until we hear the voice of God. So we're going to look at a parable in Luke 8, chapter 8. That's where we're going to go this morning. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about our ears. Now, some of you in here might have hearing aids that help you hear, correct? Don't raise your hand if you have one. But I have noticed over the last year or so that I haven't had a DOT physical for quite a while since I haven't been on the road. But those of you who drive truck or drive equipment know you have to sit in and have a DOT physical. And part of that physical is sitting in a room, in a little enclosed room with soundproof. And anybody ever done that? Yeah. Okay. And they put these headphones over and they put these little sounds out there like pings, and you have to hit right or left, whichever one's in your ear, and it gets all the way down to where you hardly think you can't hear anything and you're just hitting buttons. At least that's the way it was for me. And I always wondered, man, they're going to pass me, because I'm like, I thought I heard a sound. Yeah, right. It's left. And but as I've grown over, my wife bought me a new set of headphones, so when I'm working on sermons there at the house, because, you know, kids are running around, you know, and you're trying to get up real early in the morning, but then you still don't got it all done. And so she bought me these night sets of headphones because my kids got my last set, and they only hear out of one side of the ear. And the kids are like, well, you're going to get a headache from that because you can only get out one side, Dad. So I put these headphones on, and of course, the pressure on your ear, and, you know, you hit the music or whatever you're listening to while you're or trying to drown out the noise, and you turn it down, and you're like, okay, this ear, I can hear a little stronger than this ear over here. Or this ear over here, I can hear a little stronger than this side. And you begin to think, okay, am I losing my hearing in this one ear? Is it getting less and less? And you begin to think of those kind of things as you get older. And but those are our ears. God gave us physical ears to hear. It's part of the image of God. He wants us to hear from Him, and so He gave us that. Not only did He give us physical ears to hear, but He gave us spiritual ears to hear. That's our heart. We hear with our heart. You know, the heart can be taught to think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. A man's heart can be taught to think. And we have these spiritual ears, and He puts them on. And so our outer ears transmit the sounds. And we're going to look at some things here in the Scriptures where God spoke in many, many different ways to people. And they heard with their audible ears, their physical ears, but then their heart had to discern and process what God was saying. Matthew 13, verse 13 through 17 says, "This is why I speak to them in parables," which is one of the things we're going to be reading this morning as a parable. "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. For this people's heart has become calloused," or has a hard surface over it. "They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." From the very beginning, God has been calling out with His voice to mankind. Go back to the Garden of Eden. What did He do? It says there that, and when God came down in the cool of the day, which the sidebar on this, there were different temperatures in the garden. Think about that for a moment. That's a whole other process thing to think about. But God said He came down in the cool of the day. I always pictured the garden as this perfect place, all one temperature, no other changes. But it says there, as I was reading it this week, it struck me. He came down in the cool of the day and He calls out to Adam. Adam, where are you? Audible voice. Adam knew the voice of God. He had heard it. And Adam said, I've hid myself, right? Because he had sinned. The very next story, after that, after God kicks him out of the Garden of Eden, says that Adam and Eve had sons and one was Cain and Abel. The very next story, we have God again calling out to mankind. And He calls out to Cain. Cain, why are you angry? God's voice, God speaks to man. He wants to speak to us. And we can go through story after story. Here are the different things some of the things that stood out to me when I was looking at the way that God speaks. God, we've been going through the story of Daniel. How did God speak to Daniel? Dreams. God speaks through dreams. Okay, that's one of God's ways. His voice is heard through dreams. God used plagues in the story of the children of Israel in Egypt to get His voice through to Pharaoh. God used a voice. His voice was spoke through a fire and smoke on Mount Sinai. God called out to Samuel, a small boy, to get a message to a leader of His church because the leader of His church's heart was not right with God. God will use children to speak His voice to the parents or to individual or to adults. Then we have Elijah, the hurricane. He looked for God's voice, right? The Lord called out to him and said, go and come out to the end. And the hurricane came. You know, I call it to say it's a hurricane. It just says a great wind, but it broke rocks and it caused the ground to shudder. So I say it was a hurricane or something like that, maybe a tornado. A hurricane and an earthquake and even a fire, and God's voice wasn't in them. And then after that, it was a still small voice. In that story where the still small voice was, God's voice was heard speaking to Elijah, saying, hey, I'm calling out Elijah, go anoint him with oil. God spoke to him and told him to call out his successor as a prophet. And then God spoke through all the prophets. God spoke in Revelation to John, and His voice is sound described as a trumpet. So the next time you hear a trumpet sound, is God speaking to you. That's how God's voice sounded, as a trumpet. And then, of course, the verses we read in Revelation where the Holy Spirit speaks to the church. So this led me to a couple questions. First, when God speaks, what is His voice crying out? What is what's the message He wants to get out to mankind? And what I found was that it was consistent. In the Garden of Eden, what was God's message to Adam and Eve, to the command of Adam? If you don't, what? The command was, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you do it, you will surely die. God's message is this. He is speaking about life and death. And you say, well, wait a minute, how in the world do you get life and death? He didn't mention anything about life in there. No, He didn't mention anything about life in there. But all the way through history, you can go through each story and you can begin to see where God speaks. He talks about death and life. The cry is still the same today. In Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20, and I'm going to read this. I did not put those for the screen. I want you to listen into this story. It's a where Moses is giving the commands to the children of Israel that they will be blessed if they do these commands, if they follow them, and if they choose life. And then Paul later references this passage when he's speaking to us and the Roman followers of Jesus and to us today. He uses the same words, but he refers to the work that Jesus came to do. This is what Moses said. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so you have to ask who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim to us that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command to you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Then he puts this clause in there. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long on the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. That's a very powerful statement. Calling heavens and the earth as witnesses against us, against the children of Israel. And that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those were the words of Moses to the children of Israel. Choose life. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. Those were the words and the commands that Moses had given to the children of Israel if they would obey God's commands. Now, years ago, as a young boy, I remember my dad coming home from work one day and telling my mom, and you know, as a young boy, how many of you kids sit there and listen to your parents talk when they come home? You're playing, but you're really listening to them talk. Anybody do that as adults? Hit it with my button. Did I turn it off? I turned it off. Yep, it's a battery. You can hear me, right? Okay, while he's doing this with the batteries here. That and like, okay. And so as I was working on this sermon, that story came back to my mind. Thank you, Eric. And I began to think about that. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And then he gives us over 50 commands in his time here in ministry on the earth. There's something to commands. There's something to the way that God wants us to live life. It's not just, yes, God's grace is there, and that's why it gives us the power to live and fulfill these commands and to walk in them. But it's not about just, oh, I can do whatever I want. So as I was reading this and I began to listen to this thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is kind of nice. There's only 50 commands, and in the Old Testament, it was 610 laws that the children of Israel had to do and the Ten Commandments. So, yeah, I think I can deal with the 50. But that's one thing. But Paul gives this picture, and he ties it back to this time in history with the children of Israel when he's writing to the Roman church. And he says this, Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, or just as if you had never sinned. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You go down a little bit further in that passage and Paul references that faith cometh by hearing and hearing through the word of God. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the voice of God is still crying out to this day the same message of life and death. And we have a choice. We choose it. So that may do a second question. So when Jesus was saying in Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is Jesus really trying to say to his followers with this command? So that led me to Luke 18, where in Jesus' ministry here on the earth, he tells the parable of the sower. And at the end of that parable, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The command was in Jesus' ministry, not just afterwards. And that's where you'll be up, the scripture will be up on the, and we want to look at that this morning a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or if you want to follow along behind me. And it says this, a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. Okay, so it says, a great multitude. I would consider us a great multitude this morning. Probably not like what Jesus had, but there was a great multitude. And they came and they got to him, and they were coming from every city around. And Jesus says these words, and his sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell down by the wayside, and it was trampled down. Now, it's not like planting corn or soybeans, right, Jonathan, today. You drive it in a tractor, and it's straight, and your rows look nice and pretty when they grow. And now, this guy was out there doing this. That's how they planted seed. They were throwing seed out. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it, which means it fell on the ground, and as it got trampled on, it didn't get into the soil. Some fell on the rock, which remind me afterwards, I wanted to ask you that. Today, when you plant seed on the ground and you do no-till, do you, birds come and take it? Okay, all right. So you still have to close it up. So yeah, the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he got a picture of this, a great multitude of people. And Jesus is telling this parable, and at the end of his parable, he yells out, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, imagine yourself sitting there thinking, wow, I got a parable. First time hearing these words, This is baffling. So some of his disciples asked him in verse 9, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds a little puzzling to me. When you read those verses, he says, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but the rest it is given in parables, so seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Why would Jesus not want everybody on that mountainside or that meadow or that area they were at to understand and hear? And that goes against, contrary to what God's character, right? That's what it seems. Well, that's, as I was processing this, I began to sit there and think, why is that? Why is it that he would not want them all to hear? See, God knows everybody's heart. And not everybody's heart is in the right place to understand the mysteries of God. But he does say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he begins to explain the parable to his disciples. And I want to look at, in this explanation of this parable, I want to look at four types of heart that Jesus was dealing with in this passage. And if you think about these, as we go through them, these four different hearts, you can go back to the Garden of Eden, where God laid out the command to Adam. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. But all the other trees in the garden you may eat. And one of those trees was the tree of life that he had planted there. You see, the heart is at the center or the core of life and death. There are four type of hearts. And as we read through here, I'll kind of just expound them a little bit. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay, so we have the word of God. That is God's word to us. That's this book. The seed is the word of God. It is what God speaks, life and death. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. So they are hearing. They got their physical ears and they hear. Then the devil comes along and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. If you go back up to verse 5 where it was at, and it says, "The sower went out of seed and he sowed some, and some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down." So as the word of God is sowed into these people's hearts, a heart that's like a wayward heart, the heart is trampled. It tramples on the commands of the Lord. So if you imagine someone sowing the seed and it gets stepped on, it gets crushed. God's word comes into a person's heart. They hear it. They reject it. And Satan comes along, and instead of having that, he snatches up that seed. So the birds of the air, Satan, coming along, snatching up the word of God. The next heart that he says here, "But the ones on the rock," the ones that fell on the rock, the seeds that fell on the rock, "are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in times of temptation fall away." This is a heart of rock. This heart displays hypocrisy. Its soil is like hard rock. I mean, it looks good, maybe it looks good on the outside, but the inside's not. It will not let the word of God take root into it. And I changed my word for this heart. Can you put the heart for the last four up there, John? Yeah, okay, a heart that chokes. I changed my wording for that in here and forgot to change it in here, but I knew I changed it on the slide. A heart that chokes is the next one. And it says, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This is a heart that chokes the Word of God out. So when God's Word comes in, we choke it out by not heeding to it, by not allowing it to bring forth fruit. It's short of quality, never reaching maturity. Never reaching maturity. And then Jesus says this one about the good heart, or the heart that hears. This is a heart that truly hears God's Word. He says this, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the Word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." When you think about this for a little bit, and you think about the good heart, we all have, the heart is compared to soil. It's like soil. It needs to be cared for. So, planting a garden or tilling up the ground, you're either going to put something on it. Sometimes you go and you get a soil sample and you take it to a Department of Ag and they give you a report. Okay, and in that report, it'll tell you whether your pH level and your nitrogen and all this stuff about the soil. And then you have to go through there and cultivate the soil and add things to it. Lime, chicken manure, or something of that. You have to add things to it in order for that soil to become rich and good so that it will grow good fruit. When you don't add things to your heart, which is the Word of God, and you're not cultivating the Word of God, you're not listening to the Word of God, we're not doing those things in our life. When we're not doing that, the Word of God, our hearts, it can be stolen away. A heart that truly hears is a heart that hears God's Word and takes off and bears fruit with patience in season and out. Now, why in the world did Jesus put in the bottom there, bears fruit with patience? At the very bottom of that, he says, bears fruit with patience. Patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you sat in the Hebrews class today, he ended with that very same thought. If you remember what he said about patience, stick it out to the end, because in the end you will be perfect. You will be perfect. Stick it out. So how does all this tie into the church? Let the church hear. Flip over to Revelations. And I did not put this scripture up there, but I'm going to read it to you. Revelations 2. These are the words of Jesus to the church. You have the loveless church, the persecuted church, the corrupt church, the compromising church. These are the headings in my Bible. The dead church, the lukewarm church, and the faithful church. Different churches in there. I'm going to read to you the ending of each church. Listen to what he talks about. Jesus is talking about things that bring life or death. "He who hath an ear to hear," this is the church of the loveless church, "let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God." To the persecuted church, he says these things: "Be faithful until death," or be patient, stick it out, "and I will give you the crown of life." He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the compromising church, "He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat," life-giving Word of God, "and I will give him a name, a new name written on a white stone, which no one knows except him who receives it." When you think about a new name, it's new life. To the corrupt church, he says these words: "He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and I will give him the morning star." New morning, new. To the dead church, "I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the faithful church, he says this, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write him on my name, write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, eternal life, from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who hath an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The very last church that Jesus writes and that Jesus speaks to John about is the lukewarm church. And a lot of times it's often talked about that this is the church of the Laodiceans. They often reference that as our era now, and when you talk about that. These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, and I will come in with him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. Where is that at? That is in heaven. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Church, it's very easy for us today in our world. We get bombarded by all kinds of noise and media and Facebook and social media that we don't hear the voice of God. And this is one of the commands that God gave through His Son Jesus to His church. That's you and I. That we must listen with our ears. Not just our physical ears, but our spiritual ears. Our heart must be, the soil of our heart must be ready to receive the Word of God into it. In Matthew 5, Jesus starts off his ministry with the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us a kind of heart that will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So that leads me to a last question, and as the worship team comes, let me ask you this question, because it's something that over the years that I personally have struggled with in knowing what is a pure heart. What does a pure heart look like? Because when you think of a pure heart, all I think of something that is clear, completely clear. You can see through it. It's not one that's got stuff that you can hide. Or in this section of my heart, it is all dark, but the rest of it is clear and clean before God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And yet, Paul tells us that the way that God sees those who believe and have faith are, and those who are redeemed are just as if they had never sinned. So there's a definition of a pure heart is someone who God sees as just as if they had never sinned. We must remain patient, faithful to the word which we have heard. Stay the course, because in due time we will receive a crown of life. Stay faithful. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm hoping that over the next times as I preach and bring forth the word to you guys, that we will be studying some of these commands. Begin thinking, unless God changes things, that's always the way it can be, because I want to be sensitive to what He wants. And for some reason this morning, this theme of let the church hear, or let us hear as individuals, was very heavy on my mind all week. He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear what God wants them to hear. I don't know what God wanted you to hear this morning out of this, but as we stand and sing this morning, or this afternoon actually now, as it's afternoon, as we begin to sing and worship God, Ask yourself this question. Am I hearing the voice of God? Am I hearing the voice of God? And if you're not hearing the voice of God, if He's not speaking to you, check your soil. Check the soil of your heart. Check the soil. So let's pray. As you stand, we'll close with a word of prayer. So Jesus, You told us, it's a command. You told us to observe all that You've commanded. And there's a lot. And it's a way that You want us to live life. And that is hearing Your voice. And Your cry has been life and death from the very beginning. Choose life. It's a choice. And yet our heart must be receptive to hear what You speak into it. So Lord, may the soil of our hearts be ripe for fruit, might be ready for bearing good fruit. May it be cultivated through Your word as we hear it. May it be ready to receive the word. Our actions play into that very much so. Lord, help us to hear as a church Your voice and be sensitive to Your calling and Your leading in our lives. As we worship now, Lord, we give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.